Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Hayemi Meseches Nida Daf Yadalit. We begin at the Mishnah, which is around 10, 11 lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Derech Benois Yisrael, it is the way of Jewish women, Misham Shais, when they spend time with their husbands, Mishnei Edim, they do it with two cloths. So after they're together with their husbands, they perform a double inspection, one on his side and one on hers. Echad lo, one cloth for him, echad lo, one for her. And she says, lekanech lachatashmish, which is meant to confirm that there was no dam when they were together. That's noise. And the extra careful, meticulous women, metaknish shlishi, they actually set aside a third cloth to prepare themselves beforehand. Lesakanes habayis, habayis is an expression for the isha, so before she's together with her husband, she uses the cloth to confirm that she's tor. Now Rashi explains, based on the Gemara back on Daf Yud Aleph, that really it applies to all women. Again, we're talking women that are involved in taharis materials. So typically, no bedikos are required just for being with her husband, but if she's involved in truma and kachim, and even chulin, mundane materials which were maintained in a kachim status. So for all those, Chachamim applied bedika obligations before, after being together, and it's noise, set aside a fresh cloth that they do not reuse from time to time. It's fresh cloth per experience to see things, you know, with clarity. Now what happens if in fact they discover them? It depends where, it depends how soon after their together experience. Nimtza shaloi, if the blood was found on his cloth, well, that confirms that it was there when they were together. Hervals. Where else did it come from? Tmein, that confirms that they are both tamei. V'chayav and karmen, they have to bring karma chatos, because they were together when she was already tamei. Nimtza shaloi, if the dam was discovered in her cloth, well, it could have been there when they were together, in which case it incriminates both of them, but maybe it arrived later on, a couple of seconds later. So it depends how close, how immediate. Oisyaim, which is an expression meaning, it's a Greek word, immediately, so right after, okay, so that confirms that she was already tamei when they were together, tamein, in which case they're both tamei. So she's tamei for 7 days, and so is he, because in addition to being in contact with Anita, he was actually together with her, and the aloha is that her tumah sort of transfers to him, and he's tamei for 7 straight days. Tmein, rechayev, and b'karbon, they're obligated to bring karbon machatos for this inadvertent violation. Nimtza shaloi, lachar zman, suppose she found that on her cloth after a while. So it wasn't immediately after being together, a bit later. Now we don't know, tmein misafek. So they're tamei misafek, which means to say that on his side, he's not going to be tamei for sure for you know, the 7 day period, because we don't know whether they were together b'tuma. And likewise, I mean, she's tamei going forward from this moment, but from the moment they were together until now, well, we don't know. It's a safek. Upturim mina karm, and they don't have to bring karm machatos. Now you would think maybe an Asham Tali they have to bring because there's a chance that they sinned. The Mishnah here maintains there's no chiv Asham Tali either. And the Gemara will discuss this. So we speak about immediately or la'achar zman. How do you define la'achar zman? 5 seconds, 5 minutes? Ezeu achar zman. Kadesh ater namit abtibdech paneo. The time it takes to leave the bed and to rinse the area, to do a bedika. So that's called time frame number two. So number one is immediately after. Past that point until the time frame we just mentioned is considered zone two, v'charkach. And past that point, which is zone three, it's unrelated to their being together. Sure, she's tummy, but going forward and not going back, but of course, midrabbanan, we apply a tuma called meis leis for the previous 24 hours, which affects any kachim that she may have handled in the past 24H. But what about the husband? We assume the husband is safe and free. He's not affected by her tumah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. Tumah meisleis covers the husband as well. And since they were together in the last little while, he's also affected by this suffix tumah, which is midrabanan. Af matamas bailo. Now, umaydim chacham Rabbi Akiva. In the following case, chacham would agree with Rabbi Akiva that it affects his status as well. But royal kesem, she discovers a stain. Whose precise time of arrival, we have no idea. We don't know when it came. Shem Thomas Boyle, in this case, she is Tommy going back for 24 hours. And not only that, the husband as well is fully Tommy. He's Tommy as though he was involved with a Nida. So this Tommy, the Rabbanon, affects him for the next 7 days. So again, even though where she just discovers dam on her cloth, a while after they meet together, there we say, true, there's two mes leis, but regarding husband, who was with her in the last 24 hours, it was machlekes, chacham say he's exempt from that tumah, but when it comes to a kesem, it's different. In this case, we have a tumah, which could have come any time, the last little while. So in this case, it's considered as though he was involved with a nidam, since he was with her in the last 24, and he becomes tummy full-fledged for 7 days. Now back to the beginning of the mission. We have all these inspections, pre and post. Dom, on that post Tashmish inspection, tells us that she's tummy, and if it was found close enough to the experience, they're both tummy. And the question is, why? How do you know the origin of the maybe it's a some sort of bug, some sort of a machelus, meaning a louse that would happen to be there that got squished and left a stain on the cloth. Venechos tumah b'dam machelus, maybe it's a dam of machelus. Amar Rabbi Zeira. We don't assume there's any machelus in that area. Oisem makom, that area of the woman, badaku, is considered like certified machelus free area. Bodaku, it's like it was inspected regarding Eitzel Machilus. Tesis said it's a mokum zuam, it's unclean, and Machilus does not thrive in that area, so we assume there's no alternate source for that dam, Vikadam. There's another version to this answer. Dachaku, Eitzel Machilus. Machilus can't find its way inside the woman, it's too tight of an area to enter. So for both reasons, we don't assume that the stain is related to allows. Now, we gave two reasons. Any difference between the two? The difference will be like this. Let's say you have a stain in the middle of the cloth, and beside it you have a crushed louse. So you have an alternate source right there. Can you blame the entire stain on the louse or not? It depends on which approach. According to the first approach, no. There is no machilus in that area, period. So this laos must have jumped on later, or came from elsewhere. Lach lishna dama badaku, according to the first shot. The area of the woman is considered machilus free, period. Hamal masoi. So you have to say that this crushed laos came from elsewhere. And the stain in the middle of the cloth is in fact damnida. So you can't use it as a cover story, as an alibi for the stain in the middle. But according to the second shot, that the area is too tight for the machilus to enter. So we can speculate that shamash ever the zacher ritzafa crushed it and pushed it in. In which case, you can't attribute the entire stain to the louse, and therefore you can't confirm that they're a tamei. At most, it's just a safek. Itma continues the Gemara. Bodka be'eda bodaklo. She made a self-examination. It was an aid that was bodaklo. It was known to her as perfectly clean. So she did a bedika, but tachse bi'recha. And on its way out, she banged that cloth into her thigh and basically made contact with something else on the way. on the way out. And she put it aside. It was dark. The next morning, she sees the stain on the cloth. Question, where did it come from? From the source, from the Amida? Perhaps there was some sort of wound, scratch on the thigh. And that rubbed off onto the cloth. Olamacha, the next morning, it's light outside. She's coming to check the Olamacha, the next day. Motzo le'adam. She discovers a stain on the cloth. Omar Rav to me, Anita. We consider her to be definitely Tami Nida. Because it's more likely that, in fact, this is Dam Nida. To say that there was a scratch in the leg, that's unlikely. So we take the more likely approach. She's really Tami Nida. Amalei Rav Simi, Rav Shimi Barchia. So he turns to Rabbi and says, so you're confirming that she's a Nida? Without any doubt? You're not even considering another option? But Cheshesh's Amaslam. I recall in the past, you told us at most we have to be concerned. She's maybe Tommy, but not confirmed Tommy. There is a chance that it came from the leg. And he didn't respond. Because the Mepharshim say, because that's, in fact, what the conclusion was in the Beis HaMedrash. No doubt, we consider it to be Tam. Itmar Nami learned likewise. I'm a Shmuel Tmei Anida. Chimar and Bemet Rasha. Likewise, in Beis HaMedrash, they ruled Tmei Anida. We assume it came from the Dam Nida, and we don't entertain any other possibilities because it's so vada that there is Dam at the source. Aisha has a Chazaka. She sees Dam. Attributed to the leg, which is an unknown. So, in the balance of probability, we say it came from Dam Nida, and she's Vade Tmei Nida. Now comes a new story. Itmar, we have learned, Bodka Be'etcha in the Bodakla. Suppose this time she used a cloth which was not known to her as being clean. It had been washed in the past, but it was sitting around and it wasn't really looked at, it wasn't really inspected prior to Bidik. In Chazav Kofsa. So after her examination, she placed it in the, you know, the box. It was dark. She left it in the box in the morning. Lamacha, the next day, matzah lo dam. She just covers a stain on it. So here, to begin with, we have no confirmation that this was a valid bedikah cloth. See, unlike in the previous story, where it was an edah badek, it was a proper cloth, and it was used for an inspection. The question now is whether the dam came from the Yerech, so we rule that out. But here, we don't even know if we have something to go with, to begin with. Was this really a clean cloth? What do we do? Amar Yosef, Kol Yom Shel Rabbi Chiya, throughout Rabbi Chiya's lifetime, he always went with Tamei. We assume that she's Tamei. Well, he's a Knesset here. But in his older years, he switched, considered it to be tar. We have to entertain the option that, in fact, there was a stain on the cloth pre-inspection, and you can't ascertain that she's tummy. Yiboylo, the question is like this. He certainly made a shift. The question is, did he go from earlier considering her to be certainly tummy, and then he dropped to, well, it's like a suffix, like a kesem, like a stain with rabbanon, you know, tummy? Or did he go from 2 to 3, from initially he held that she was just a suffix, and now he said Torah completely. So was it from a drop from 1 to 2 or from 2 to 3? But the question was, Hechik Amar. What do you mean to say? Kol Yom of Timi Mishem Nida. Earlier, Rabbi Chiya considered her to be Tamei Vadai. Level 1. Well, is it Knozat Tira Mishem Nida Vitu Mishem Kesem? Later on, he switched from Nida and he just considered her to be suffix. Tamei? Oidilma. Or perhaps he went from 2 to 3. Oidilma Kol Yom of Timi Mishem Kesem. Earlier, considered to be like a stain, like a suffix, like a knoss, a tear, really clung. But later on, in his older years, he considered Torah completely. Toshmai comes a riot. The sign, Yabot Gabet Sheni Badakla. Exactly our story. She used an uninspected cloth. Nechaz Bekufsel, Mohammed Saladam. Next morning she found it. Rabbi Aymer, Rabbi Shemnida. Rabbi says she's Tami, for sure. Rashi explains, why would we say she's Tami for sure? Rashi says, the given the Cheskas, Domim, Sham, we know there is Dam and the Mokar. We don't have to entertain the possibility that it was there before. So that's Rebbe's opinion. Tell me, Rav Chiya Amar Tumei Mishum Kesem. He says, well, she's tummy, as though she found a stain. Rashi says, Kaleimar, Tuma Safik Vitoilin, it's a Safik. We're not sure, maybe yeah, maybe not. She's tummy with Rabba. Tummy Safik. Over Tummy Bates. Amar Rav Chiya. So Rav Chiya turns to Rabbi. You're saying she's tummy Vadai? But even you agree that the stain has to be of a substantial size. It has to be a tigris void. Greater than the size of a gris, of a bean, which is really the minimum size for a kesem. So the halacha of gris relates to a stain, which is only the rabbanon. It has to be large enough to rule out the possibility it came from a louse. So that rule was set by a kesem, by the rabbanon. Why in this case do you concede that the stain on the uninspected cloth has to be that large of a size? Well, it's a straight out tumah min ha-toira. Even a droplet is matamid ish min ha-toira. Why do you require a minimum size on the stain? If it's not only tumah min ha-rabbanon, like my position is. Amar lo, Rabbi Chiya, yata moide, would you agree shetzricha gris void? It has to be kegris void, bigger than a kegris. Amar lo, so Rabbi says, yeah, aval. True, right on, correct. Amar lo, he says, okay, that proves. Amar lo, imkein, proves that you're also Atos is a kesem. You're also considering it merely a stain, which has that minimum threshold, that minimum size. Because if it weren't so, why does it have to have a minimum size? For Rabbi Sabar, Rabbi holds like this. Really, ultimately, it's considered tami min ha-toira. But the reason why it has to be large enough is because the fact is it was an uninspected cloth. So yeah, it could have gotten stained by a louse. And once we rule that out, it's larger than the stain that a louse would leave behind. Once you rule out that possibility, we default to the natural, which is that it came from the Isha and it's Dam Nida. Rabbi Savar, Be'inun Kegris V'oid, the reason why we need a large stain is Lafukim Dam Acholos, to rule out the Acholos option. But once that's off the table, once you rule out that it came from Acholos, also now that she did an inspection with this cloth, we can assume with certainty, we can conclude that it came from her guf. So basically, we have to deal with three possibilities. That it came from her guf, which makes her a nida, maybe. But that can only be confirmed after you rule out the other possibility, which is a likely possibility, that it came from Macheles. Too big for Macheles, that's off the table. Now, to entertain yet a third option, that perhaps it came from a random source, an unknown source, that's really unlikely. That's not even a consideration. Holds Rebbe. But Rebbe Chia holds, no. We have to entertain the option that perhaps it came from a third source as well. So at most, you can say it's tummy like a stain, with Rabbanon, but not more than that. In any case, we have a discussion between Rebbe and Rebbe Chia. Rebbe says it's tamei, like a regular nida. Rebbe Chia says it's only a kesem. Now, from their interaction, it would seem like Rebbe Chia was already older at this point. Oh, well, Rebbe Chia, right? He told, yeah, tamei, wouldn't you agree? The way he spoke with him, and also the fact that he was arguing with him, Rebbe was really his Rebbe, so apparently he was already advanced in age, Rebbe Chia was. My love, let's assume the Knusa. This is in his advanced age. So here, Rebbe Chia dropped down a notch and says it's only a kesem. So apparently, in his youth, consider her level one. Anida vada ishvamina. That confirms the sequence of events. Okay, so again, we had a cloth which was not pre-inspected, which experienced a bedika, which showed dam. What happens now? We have an opinion which says tamei nida vada. Rav Chia, who initially held that way, but then switched over to just merely a kesem, is tamei mid rabbanon misafik. Here comes another story on the same topic. Mishtabeach le Rebbe. So Rebbe would praise to whom? Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi would praise to him about another chacham. Rabbi Chama Bar Bissa, he would tell him about Rav Chaim Arbisa, that he's a great man, the Adam Gadol. Amar Lois Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi says, okay, next time he's around, could you please bring him over? I want to have a discussion with him. Next time he comes to you, bring him to me. Next time he came. Amar Lois Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi tells his guest, Rabbi Chaim, you have anything to ask? Boy, please ask him something. Boy, I asked him, how a story? She used a non-inspected cloth for bedikah. She put it away. Next day, she found a stain. Ma, what's the status? Amar Lois, he says like this. I can give you my father's opinion. I can give you Rebbe's opinion. Which one would you want? Kedever Abba Emelach. Should I tell you my father, Rebbe Yossi's opinion? Or Kedever Rebbe Emelach? Or Rebbe's opinion? Emelach says, Kedever Rebbe. I want to hear Rebbe's opinion. Emily. Amar Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel was taken aback. He says, so you would forego my father's opinion? Who was the Rebbe of Rebbe? Zeo Shoyimun Alav Dadam Gadlu? This is the man that they consider a great man. Why would he forego the opinion of the Rav, Rebbe, who was the Rebbe, Rabbi Yossi, who was the Rebbe of Rebbe? He's showing the Talmud and go with the Talmud's opinion. So why did Rav Chaim choose to hear the opinion of Rebbe over Rabbi Yossi? The answer is Rav Chaim Abisa, Savri, held Rebbe Reish Mesiftahu. Rebbe was a Reish HaYeshiva, surrounded by Talmidim. And he was compelled to delve deeper and deeper, and he arrived at a greater and greater level of clarity and understanding because of his Talmidim, because of his students. It was spurred him on. Ushchicha Rabban Kamei and the Chacham were present with him. Umchadish Maitzei, and therefore his learning is sharp and deep, and that's why he would rely on that over the other sheet. Okay, so where is the where are these opinions? My Rebbe, my Rebbe Yossi. Where do you have these two positions? Amar Vada Bamasna Tana Rebbe Matam and Basi Matar, we have a Brisa. Then in this case, Rebbe says completely Tame, Rebbe Yossi says Tar. Oh. Now comes a third opinion. Rebbe Yossi says Tar completely. We didn't have this yet. We have Nida, we have Kesem, Tar completely. V'amar Bezera, let me explain to you the background. Kshatimi Rebbe, Kramir. When Rebbe says that the stain on this uninspected cloth considers her Tame, it's like Rebbe Mirashita, even though there's an element of uncertainty. We assume it came from the Makkah, she's tummy completely. Shtir Rabbi Yossi, lots matir. And likewise, Rabbi Yossi considered her Torah completely. That's in line with his own position that he applied to Hara in a similar case of uncertainty. Sanyo, the Snami, the Mishnah later on. Of an issue discovers Dam, where there's an element of uncertainty as to the source of the Dam. An issue discovers Dam, also attending to your waters, attending to your needs. The question is, where did it come from? Did it come from the source, from the womb, from the dam nida, or is there some sort of scratch, some sort of wound in the meraglim tract, which wouldn't make her tummy? Rav Meir says it depends on what position she is charging the waters. Rav Meir, if she's in a standing position, in which case there is intense pressure of the meraglim and back up, and bring down Damnita from the uterus. Tmeya Shashish Tame. But Im Yeshev is Tahira. If she's in a sitting position, in that case, the Rashi says the Dam does not come out together with Meragam. Different channel, different system. So in this case, she's discharging it naturally, easily. And we assume that the Dam and the Meraglim came from the Meraglim tract, from a Maka, from a wound, and it's unrelated to Dam either. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, either way, Benkech, Mekech, Tohira, whether she's standing or sitting, either way, there's an element of uncertainty. And we can just assume that it was sourced in the Meraglim area, and she's tar. Okay, so we see from here that when there's an element of uncertainty, even if you have Dam, which can be attributed to the Makar, Rabbi Yossi says completely tar. Rabbi Meir says completely tummy. And Rabbi took Rabbi Meir's position. Amalei Rabbi Acha by the Rav Ravashi. Vaha am Rabbi Yossi Rechanina. But he explained to us, Kshetimi Rabbi Meir, Timel Misham Kesem. Explained that even Rabbi Meir only considered a Kesem at the Rabban, it's a Safek. He didn't say it was confirmed Nida. Vilu Rabbi Mishim Nida Ka'amar. You're comparing Rabbi by the uninspected cloth where he says it's a Badai Nida. How could you compare the two? Amalei, he says, Anan Hochikam Nida. Actually, our version of Rabbi Chanina was Gitmaim Shum Nida Itmar, that in fact he learned that Rameir was Matame with certainty, and in fact Rebbe is on that track as well. So in conclusion, when there was a Bedika done, what Dam discovered, she's Tame Vadai. Question is, going forward or going back? So if, let's say, they were together immediately beforehand, so if it's right away, we assume they were Tame when they were together as well. If it's a bit later, or even later than that, then you can't attribute it to them being together. She's Tame going forward. And regarding Tame, the previous, the previous experience, well, it depends how close. If it was a little while later, like we called it zone 2, then they're both Tamei Misafek. If it's further than that, zone 3, then they're not Tamei, it's only Midrabanan, Meis Leis, Tamei Midrabanan Misafek regarding Truma Vekach. Now this is all if the cloth had been clean and confirmed and inspected beforehand. Well, let's say there was an uninspected cloth that was used for the Bedika. So we have three opinions: Tame Vadai, Toher Vadai, or Tame Misafik. Okay, back to the standard case where it was a pre-inspected cloth and she discovered Dam. Oyusyam in Sashala Oyusyam, Tmeim Misafik. Tmeim, so they're both Tame because it confirms that they were Tame together as well. So what's Oyusyam? The Rabban is Yoshir Vest. Vest over here means Miyad, immediately. What's considered in the same time zone has to be immediately after the act. Mashal Hashamash Veid, a mashal to Hasham, that's the male Aver, Veid, and the cloth. She'ainu tzada mashkev, standing right at the side of the doorway, the opening, it's a Shamash, they can say that the Shamash leaves, the Aid goes in, so it's at an end. So in order to achieve that, Havei, Vest She'amru, so the vest that we're talking about, the immediacy element, could only have taken place, L'kinuach, if there was an external wipe. She's going and doing a real internal bodika. That takes too long to be considered vest, to be considered aishya. And it's too far removed from them being together, and therefore cannot implicate them as being tame and having sin misafek. Now let's say she discovered on her cloth after a bit of time has passed. Okay, so now it could have come later, so it's a safek. They're both Tamei Misafik, and the Mishnah mentions no reference to an Asham Tali, but the Braisa does. Tana, Lechayav an Asham Tali, an Asham Tali, as per a person who may have sinned, a severe sin of Karis. So instead of Achata, it's Asham Tali. The Tana did on my timer. Question is, why did our Mishnah delete any mention of Asham Tali? The answer is, he holds Be'in Chaticham Shtei Chatichis. The whole discussion back in Hurrius, Mesechus Hurrius, that according to some opinions, it needs to be one of two pieces, meaning there were two pieces in front of him. One was forbidden fats, one was permissible fats. He ate one of the two. So since in this equation we have an established Isser, we just don't know which one it was, that triggers an Asham Tali. But if it's just one piece sitting on the table and he ate it, ooh, it may have been this, may have been that. There's no Asham Tali in that case. Some explain that it's based on the Pasuk, mitzvois, plural. I have to have two options in front of you. So here it doesn't apply because there's no two options. It was one woman, one man. It was one experience. We just don't know the status of which. That's why our Tana holds his notion Tully, but the Yibraisa holds, even in this case, which is just a single element of Safik, there's notion Tully. Ezeu achar zman b'chu. Okay, so what's considered achar zman, which means time frame number two. Okay, let's just organize it. We have oisiyim, another word is vest, another word is miyad. That's like we said, in and out, right? Past that point, it's called achar zman, time zone number two, which is a safek asham tol. And then comes past that point, time zone number three, it's unrelated, it's detached from the act of being together. So although it's just tummy going forward, but not retroactive to the being together, tummy going forward, and of course there's Meis Leis, standard procedure Meis Leis for the previous 24 hours regarding Truma Vekachim. Does that affect her husband? No. Az Machlekes, Rav Akiva says, yeah, Chacham saying. How does the Mishnah define time zone number two? Time it takes to leave the bed, do the Bedika. For Aminu, we have a Kashma Braisa, which presents a different description of that time zone. Ezeu Acharzman was considered time zone number two. Pirush Rabbi Elazar Btzadik, Kadesh Tesha Diyada Tachazakar, Tachazakeses, time it takes to, for it to reach under the pillow or the mattress, until 8, grab the cloth, Tidu Bain, Dubadika, which to us seems to be a shorter time frame than leaving the bed. So how does this work with our Mishnah? Amar Chizda. You're right. My Achar. When the Mishnah says Achar Zman, time takes to leave the bed, etc., that's going on time zone number 3. That's Achar. That's after the Achar, after time zone number 2. It's time zone number 3. So time zone number 1 is immediately. Number 2 is to reach over to grab the thing and do it. Time zone number 3 is to leave the bed, etc. How could you say to have a look at Tami? Well, we have a Brisa which explains on the Mishnah. Nimsa shalol achazman. If she discovers a stain on hers, la achazman, tmei masafik, tumna karban. So the Tami masafik, the potter from karban, ezo achazman, was considered achazman, meaning time zone number 2, not time zone number 3, time number 2. Time takes to leave the bed and do a bedik. Says Mochi Kama, the Brisa means like this. Ezo achar zman. What's considered time zone number 2? Time it takes to reach over, grab the cloth, etc. What's time zone number 3? Kadesha teirid min amita v'tadich panel. Time takes to leave the bed and do a bedik. That is time zone number 3. And that's only going to be the time of her going forward. And there we apply the standard meis leis for the previous 24 hours. Does that affect her husband? That's a machlaikas. Rabbi Akiva says, yeah. Chacham say no. Says the Gemara, v'chachach ktani. If you look back at the Mishnah, the words don't seem to jive. The Mishnah says, time zone number 1, oisim, confirmed at the tummy. Achar zman, which is to leave the bed, etc. Then they're telling me safik. What's achar zman? Right, to leave the bed. Then it says v'achar kach, then if it happened later, sounds like now we're going to zone number 3. Then there's meis leis. But leaving the bed is zone number 2. Not considered zone number 3 as you're telling me. No. It is zone number 3. The Mishnah means this description, this leaving the bed, this zone number 3 is achakach. This is the achakach. This is zone number 3, which is subject to machlekes. Okay, so according to Rav Chizda's approach, the three time zones are very clear. We have oisyim immediately after. We have the next stage, which is time it takes to reach over to grab the cloth under the pillow, do bedika, that's time zone number 2. Where is the tomei misafik? Perhaps Hashem Talu. That affects the husband as well. Past that point is time zone number 3, time it takes to leave the bed. That's unrelated to them being together, it's too far gone. The tomei going forward. This meis leis going back. Husband is machlokes. Rav Ashi Yomar, no, it's all one and the same. Idividik chachiru. Reaching over for the cloth. Or leaving the bed is really the same thing. It depends. What needs to be done? Eid biyada. She has the cloth in her hand. So that's... she doesn't have to reach over. So then, kadesh derim namita, dechs panel. Time takes to leave the bed and do the bedika. That's, the 10-second, the 15-second duration. Eid biyada. Let's say she does not have the cloth in her hand. In that case, we measure it like this. Kadesha Toshit Yad Lak Tachzakar, or Tachzakasis, Jidalim, Titalim, time takes to reach over under the pillow of the mattress. Reach for the cloth and do Bidik. So this is equivalent. Takes the same amount of time to do this as to leave the bed with a cloth in hand and do Bidik. So either or, there's no stira. He thought there was a contradiction between the Mishnah leaving the bed and the Brisa, which speaks about reaching over on the bed. It's all the same thing. If you have the cloth in your hand, time takes to leave the bed and do the bedika. If you have no cloth, time takes to reach over under the pillow on the bed and do the bedika. Meisvi becomes a kash. Brisa says, Ezo acharzman. What's considered acharzman? Oh, it's an old question. Dover, ze, shol, Rab Lezer, Rab Tzadok, me chacham, be usho. Rab Tzadok asked the chacham in usho. And they didn't respond. Rab Lemsi says, maybe the reason why you don't know is because, return to the next time. Shema karukiv atim oimrim. Shema tamas boyala. Maybe old like Rabbi Akiva. But even if it's already passed, it's already time zone number three, the husband would be affected anyway. So really time zone number two, which is a suffix and affects the husband, is the same as time, has the same halachic ramification of time zone number three, which is a suffix and affects the husband. So that's why you're not getting involved in differentiating between these two time zones. So one of the same thing. Is that true? Amrullah, they said, no, actually, it's not like we adopted Rabbi Akiva's position. No, Lishamana, we just don't know. We haven't heard the Shir, exactly how it works. All these different intervals we have, we don't know what, you know, time zone number two is. Amrullah, she says, okay, if you don't know, I'll tell you. Kach Persho Cham B'Yam. And Yam Cham explained as follows, very clear delineation. Lo Yishasa, if she hadn't waited the amount of time it takes to leave the bed and do Bedika, Kadesha Terim Namita, Tadech Spanel, that's considered number two. That's considered time zone number two. Terech Zman was there. That's called Achar, you know, the Oisim. That's time zone number two. In that case, we find Dam. Is a strong suffix that was there when they were together. They're between the suffix, the tamei 7 days misafik, between the carbon, they don't have to bring a chatos. But v'chayev non basham talib. But if it's past that point, which gets you into area number three, she waited time it takes to leave the bed, dubadika. Achar zman oza, it's already past. That's already time zone number three. Certainly if she waited longer than 24 hours of being together, or between inspection to inspection, meaning she had an inspection a while ago and then they were together and then a while later she found the dam. So basically in these cases she's going to be tamei going forward. And with the Rabbanan, we apply them to Tumah of Meis Leis, or to the previous Bedika, whichever, you know, is shorter. What about the husband? Okay, by Allah Metami Metami Shumago. The husband is Tami a very low degree Tumah, because he touched Anida, so that's a low level Tumah, it's a 1 day Tumah. Right, just in case, right, it was a Suffolk, maybe she was already Tami at the point when they were together. So that's a lighter Tumah, but he's not going to have the full-fledged, full-blown 7 day Tumah as though he was together with Anida. We don't know that. Veni Metami Shumboyo, it's not Tami 7 days as though he was involved, was together with Anid. Rakiva Aymer, no, Afmetami Mishum Boyal. He says that Meis Leis applies to the husband equally as to the wife, and he's Tami for 7 days, as though he was together with Anid. Here comes, he had a third opinion. Mama, the other extreme, Rabbi Yehuda, B'nai Shab Richam, Zaki Aymer, Bala Nichos Leich, Maktik Teures. Meis Leis doesn't affect the husband at all. He's fully Tar. He can go to the Eichel and bring a Teures if he's a Kain. Fine. Interesting. So you have three opinions. How far do we go with Meis Leis? Does it affect the husband at all? Does it affect him somewhat? Affect him all the way? Back to our discussion regarding defining the three time zones. Rav Chizda says that on the bed reaching over to the aid is time zone number two. Leaving the bed is considered time zone number three. Well, but it's number three. Chacham say the husband is off the hook. That explains the price why he's off the hook. El ala Rav Ashi. Amai mitar Rabbanu. Kudu Rav Ashi, who says, well, even leaving the bed doesn't necessarily mean you're too far from being together. If you have the aid in your hand, she had the cloth in her hand, it's a short enough time frame. So even time it takes to leave the bed, do badika, it's still considered close enough. It's considered time zone number two. So the husband should be implicated as well. Perhaps the Enid B'yad was speaking, she doesn't have the cloth in her hand. So she had to, A, leave the bed, 2, reach out for a cloth, that's time zone number 3, in which case the husband's off the hook. Well, the Brisa should have explained that. Hi, Eid B'yad. Enid B'yad me boyle. The Brisa should have said, look, it depends if she has the cloth in her hands or not, to make it clear and unambiguous. Otherwise, you can get confused. It's all about leaving the bed, whether or not she has a cloth. It's incorrect. It all depends if she has the cloth or not. So it's a kasha. It's a kasha on Ravashi from the other Braisa, which seems to say that the amount of time it takes to leave the bed is inevitably longer. Even if she has the cloth in hand. And that's like Rav Chisda, who says that time zone number one is immediately after being together. Oisim. The next time zone is while you're on the bed, reach over the cloth, do a bedik. The next time zone is the time it takes to leave the bed, do a bedik. Whether or not the cloth is in your hand. Okay, so that's the conclusion of this discussion. We discussed the bedikas relating to Tashmish before and after, which of course only applies to a woman who's involved in taharis and, you know, handling truma and kachem, etc. If that was discovered, it's an indication of tumma. We know it's not attributed to a louse, it's not to be found there, it's not likely, etc. And what about if the bleak cloth wasn't really inspected before Badika? We have three shitas, tar, tame, or just suffix. If the dam was discovered after the meeting together, if it was discovered on his side, that certainly confirms that they were tame while they were together. And they were tame 7 days with a chatas requirement. If she found it on her side, so it depends. Right away, tame 7 days, chayav chatas. A bit later, it's tame suffix. Ashim tali zamachleikas. A bit later, just tell me going forward, we apply the standard mace lace. And what about the husband's status? Three shittas. Rav Akiva says, as though he's evolved with anida, tell me for 7 days. Chacham say, oh, just tell me for 1 day, as though he touched him. The third shittah, he's tar completely. How's that? To be continued by Hashem tomorrow. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.